Kids can be an interruption, but interruptions can be opportunities.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about being the kind of father that God wants you to be. But how do we do that? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren encouraging us to be like kids. Thanks for listening.
What do kids mean in the world? How does a father or a parent or even a man of God lead and help them spiritually like Jesus would? And we have that very answer here in this section of scripture from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Listen to and watch Jesus observe leading children. Beginning at verse 13, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. That's God's word for today. Kids in church. When my youngest son was 4 years old, he and his brother and his mom showed up for church. I was already there. But we had this loving, caring, elderly man who was like the caretaker of our church. He was like the grandpa figure for us all. And he was always there early. He was like the super duper usher, greeter, setup, takedown guy. He came with the church building, and he'll always be there, and just a loving fella. And my four-year-old son comes in, and this elderly man bends down, gets right down in my son's face, and shakes his hand and says, "Good morning, welcome." And my son looks at him and says, "You have bad breath." Now, that's something I was always thinking, but I never could say. The things kids say and do in church. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you have your own stories right now. Or if all of us have been kids at some point, we might all have our stories of running up the aisle during church, screaming, "Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?" or something like that. And so we have kids in church. We have squawking, and we have screaming, and we have toddlers making noise, and we have babies bringing toys that are loud, and why parents ever bring rattles to church for their kids, I have no idea, but that happens. And then I'm standing up here looking at the crowd on Sundays when kids in back of the church make noise, and then you know what happens when the kids in the back of church make noise? What happens in the front of the church? We get the head turn. And the head turn is like, it's this mixture of the people in front give the head turn. Like, it's this mixture of curiosity and judgment and who's that kid back there making noise? What's going on? Or maybe it's, is that my kid? The look happens when kids are being kids in church. Sometimes it's a disapproving look. Sometimes it's a message of, that shouldn't be happening, not in my church, those kids shouldn't be making noise, and they're just kids being kids. But I tell you what, Jesus' disciples agree with that. Kids should not be interrupting important, spiritual, big, kingdom-like things. That should not be happening. Now, in an adult world, kids just don't have the minds of adults. They don't operate like adults do. They can't sit with as much attention span as most adults can. And yet sometimes we expect kids to act like adults, but they're just kids. Kids interrupt our adult world all the time. And that's the point that Jesus is making today. And he's going to use it to teach adults something about our faith and to teach adults also something about kids. So the disciples were critical of these kids who are interrupting Jesus' adult world. And the lesson here is that is really Jesus' response to the disciples' response. Jesus' response to the disciples' response is very interesting because Jesus basically says, hey, kids can be an interruption, but interruptions can be opportunities. How many of you, raise your hand if this is true, how many of you have ever interrupted mom or dad when they're doing something important and they say, not now? How many of you have ever done that? Yep. Yeah. Not now. All right, let's see what Jesus says when kids interrupt him. So here we go. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So the big point here is the comparison between how the disciples respond to the kids and then how Jesus responds to the disciples. So how do the disciples respond? It says the disciples rebuked and the parents. They're not so much talking to the kids, but the disciples are responding to the parents, and they're rebuking the parents. That word is like shows disapproval. So the disciples are saying to the parents, hey, this is Jesus. He's a busy guy. He's got important kingdom matters going on. These are big adult things. These are responsible things. This is not the place for children. The disciples gave them the look. And now, look how Jesus responds to the disciples. Look what it says here. When Jesus saw this, meaning his disciples scolding the parents, Jesus scolds his disciples. Says Jesus was indignant with, I haven't used the word indignant in 12 years. What does the word indignant mean? In the Greek language, it's setting up this contrast here. So we have the disciples who rebuked the parents, disapproval. That word for indignant means Jesus became angry. He became incited and furious. We might say in our lingo today, he was ticked off. That's what that word means. So the disciples rebuked the parents. Jesus got ticked off at his disciples for scolding the parents who were bringing their children to Jesus. Moms and dads, grandpas, grandmas, uncles, aunts, step-parents, coaches, teachers, anyone who wants to influence and impact the life of a kid. Let me tell you this. It can be discouraging when especially you're trying to train kids to be godly. These parents were trying to do a good, godly thing. They were bringing them to Jesus. And they encountered obstacles and criticism in the disciples. Have you, parents, dads, have you ever encountered an obstacle when you're trying to train your kids to be godly? Say yes. Yeah. Have you ever experienced criticism from, it could be someone in your own family, it could be a neighbor, it could be one of your parents, the grandparent who's criticized. Ever experienced criticism when you're trying to do a good godly thing and raise your kids in a godly way? Say yes. Yes. Yeah, me too. Here's the neat thing. Jesus sticks up for you. Jesus steps in when you encounter obstacles training and raising your kids spiritually. And when you receive criticism for doing a good and godly thing for kids in our world, Jesus gets irate when someone wants to get in your way or criticizes you or does not let you do your job of spiritually raising kids. Jesus is indignant. He is angry at that on your behalf. He's defending you. He's stepping in like he stepped in here to his very own disciples and became indignant. Now, I also want us to learn a different lesson from this. Same thing, Jesus becoming indignant, and that's this. when we are like the disciples. So there's times in my life where I have to admit I have lost patience with kids for being kids, usually my own kids, just for being kids. They weren't being naughty necessarily. They weren't doing anything wrong. They were interrupting something that I wanted to do. I was watching my TV show. I was watching something on sports. I wanted to take a nap. I needed me time, and the kids just get in the way. Kids are interruptions in life. They reroute my agenda. And when kids are just being kids, and any of us loses patience with them, Jesus loses patience with us. There he is, Jesus, the protector and defender of children. And if we are going to be irritated by kids just for being kids, not for sinning, not for doing anything wrong, not for breaking the rules, they're just being kids. I mean, she just happened to smear peanut butter all over her brother. I mean, that's being a kid. He spilled the milk at the breakfast table. It's being a kid. He had a diaper blowout as you were getting ready to come to church. It's a kid. And when we lose it in those scenarios, Jesus, well, he's got some pretty harsh words about that. Some other time he said this. This is the previous chapter, Mark chapter 9. Jesus once said, "If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea." He's talking about the people who lose patience with kids, who cause kids to be frustrated and to stumble. "Better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea." Jesus is saying, "I'm serious about kids. I seriously love them so much, I'm going to come to their defense. And if you are going to lose patience with kids, and if you are going to treat them inappropriately and too harshly, I'm going to lose it on you. And I have the right to judge you if you're going to judge kids in that way. And let me tell you this," Jesus says, "it would be better for you to have a big millstone hung around your neck and be tragically lost in the ocean. That would be better for you than to incur my judgment on you for losing patience and becoming irritable of kids who interrupt you by just being a kid." He's serious about that, and that's how much he loves and protects and defends kids. We need to watch ourselves. Jesus says in verse 14 here, "Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus says, "Stop getting in the way of my love for kids. Do not interrupt the good that I want to do in kids' lives by losing it on them, by becoming irritable with them for being kids." And here's the why. Here's why this is so big. Jesus says it right here. "Because they're important to me." So we think as adults, there's adult things going on here. There's big things that are valuable and kids shouldn't interrupt it. And Jesus says, "Kids are a big thing. Kids are valuable and kids are important. And I want you to know as adults to take that seriously. Will you do that with me?" Jesus says. And we want to say, "Yeah, we'll do that with you. Kids are important and valuable." You know, you get the impression that Jesus doesn't just love kids, but he likes them. Like, he likes them. Here in this story, he takes them up onto his lap and he puts his hands on them and he blesses them. It's not just his job. But he likes it. God likes kids. So let me ask you this question. How do you feel about this question? Does God like you? I didn't ask, does God love you? That's yes, God loves me. He sent Jesus for me, and Jesus died for my sins, and he loves me. Yes, God loves everybody. Does God like you? Does God like you? I think that's a great question to ask here as Jesus likes these children. Would he rather be doing something else sometimes when he's listening to you pray? Does he Does he get impatient with all the things that you ask him, all the things that you need, all the sins you need forgiven? I mean, come on, for crying out loud, at some point he says, listen, give me a break. Or maybe there's others that he's interested in more than you. Maybe he'd rather, you know, spend time with adults, teens who are a bit more mature, who are responsible, who do the right things, who always obey him, who are perfect little angels. And that's who he likes. There's a father and his son walking in the park, and pretend you're across the street and you're observing this father and this son, and the father and son are walking in the park, and at whatever point, for whatever reason, the father just pulls his little boy up into his arms and gives him a big hug and kisses him, and then he puts him back down. They walk a little further, and then the father grabs his son, and the little boy, little toddler, he puts him up in the swing, and the father gets behind the swing, and he pushes it, and for the first time, he pushes it over his head just so that it's high enough so the kid screams and laughs a little bit, but not too high so he falls out of the swing. Pushes him a few more times, and it just they're both smiling and giggling and laughing, and then before he takes the little boy out of the swing, he leans into him and takes a selfie. Is that dad having fun? Does that dad not just love being a dad, but does he like what he's doing right at that moment? You get the picture that he does. That it's not just a job, it's not just something he's supposed to do. As a matter of fact, that dad came home early from work to do that, and you get the picture that he's thinking about work right now, that he's thinking, boy, I could, if I were only accomplishing this task. No, he's in the moment with his little boy, and he's absolutely having fun. Absolutely, he likes his son. So, does God like you? As you're watching that father and that child, is that you and God? Or do you have a different relationship? Are you distant? Are you facts only? You know of God, and you're at a comfortable place, and you just want him to be comfortable with you and just take care of your needs when you need him, but stay far away. The Bible says that God likes you. The Bible says that God chose you, that he delights in you, that he adopted you as his child. And Ephesians 1 says, in accordance with his pleasure. It means that God has done all this for you because he wants to, and because he enjoys you, and because he doesn't just love you, he likes you. He lifts you up into his arms in baptism and embraces you close to his own heart. And he kisses you goodnight by painting sunsets in the sky. And he provides you the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of his very own one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And he has fun messing with you when you think you want to be in control, right? How many people have I've heard said God has a sense of humor? He has fun with you. He likes you. He takes pleasure in loving you, all because he's your father. And you're important to him. The kingdom of God belongs to you, Jesus says, because you're a child. You're his child. So just like God loves you, like kids, that's in the imperative, that as in, please, like children, like kids, and be a blessing to them, like Jesus was a blessing to these kids here. Practice God's love. Practice God's love on your kids, because God loves you in a way. God loves you as his child. He likes you as a child, so practice this on kids, and then remember this. That you are good at loving and liking kids, not because you're so strong, not because you're so responsible, not because you're the CEO of the universe, not because you write a mom blog. You are good at loving and liking kids because you're a kid yourself. You're God's child. Jesus says in verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus is saying, don't let adulting happen to you in such a way that you become so rigid or so responsible that you lose out on the delight and the fun of being my child. Don't let logic and wisdom and figuring out the stock exchange and knowing what the weather will be like tomorrow and being able to use Google Calendar and, don't let all of that become so technical in your life that you lose the innocence of faith that believes me when I tell you something that seems so impossible and so incalculable. Jesus says, don't lose that. Don't lose that. Be a child. The kingdom of God is for you, a child, in that way. So don't only like kids, but believe like kids and be blessed. Be innocent in your faith. Don't let adult wisdom and responsibility get in the way. Believe like kids and be blessed. Kids, question for you. How many of you draw pictures for mom and dad, and you draw pictures or color pictures for them, and then they put them on the refrigerator or display them somewhere? How many of you draw pictures for mom and dad and they put them up? Yeah, those of you who are getting older, maybe not so much. I have a picture here that one of our cross kids, one of our young kids here at church drew for me. It says pastor, and it has a picture of this guy with this really weird shaped head and hair sticking out everywhere and little hair on his chin. And that's me. And here's what I really, really like about this picture. It's kind of got some glitter on it too. I'm probably getting it on my fingers and face. Right here, coming out of the guy's mouth, there's a little conversation bubble. And in that conversation bubble is a cross. So this is my young friend's perspective of who his pastor is. And I treasure this more than any other way that people see me as their pastor. They might think I'm the coolest pastor in the world, which is true. They might think that I'm the nicest pastor in the world, which is also true. But he thinks that I talk about Jesus. And there's nothing closer to a pastor's heart than to know that his people appreciate him for that more than anything, for being a Jesus sharer, for sharing Jesus. So let me ask you a question. When this young man comes to church on Sunday or interacts with his pastor in some way, is he going to grow in his faith through God's word that the pastor brings? Or is he going to be distracted by the songs that were sung on Sunday, or Pastor Darren isn't smiling as much as he should be, or the weather, or it was too long or too short, or they sat in the wrong spot in church, or is he going to be distracted by all that? No. Is he going to grow in his faith through God's word, through the cross of Jesus Christ? Is he going to spiritually mature? Is he going to receive guidance from God's word that comes through his pastor? Yes. Why? Because of how he sees his pastor. Conversation bubble, cross. He believes like a kid that crosses come out of his pastor's mouth, that his pastor talks about Jesus. Can you see Jesus in that way too? Not just your pastor, that'd be great, but can you see your God like that? Like the number one thing that you look to your God for, your perspective of God, more than helping you with your finances, more than helping you get over your anger, more than taking care of you later in life, more than helping you have kids, more than finding you the right job, more than all of that, that your God has a conversation bubble and there's a cross in it coming out of his mouth, and your God speaks Jesus to you. Then you're believing like a child. Do you think, if you believe in that way, that you will grow spiritually? Do you think, if you see your God in that way, that you're going to be drawn closer to him and that the Spirit's going to be grasping your heart, and you're going to be in a place with your God that's a special, intimate place that you enjoy? You, absolutely, because you're believing like a child, and you're blessed for it. So, see Jesus here for who he really is in this story, for wanting to be with children and for representing God and his character, for being kind to children and their families, for embracing them, and for being good to them. He's good to you. See him with a childlike heart. And then one final message, and this is for the guys. Guys, there's nothing more important. Fathers, men, there is nothing more important for you to consider than this message about really what it takes to be a man. I like being a man in a number of different ways. Here's one way. I have this black leather motorcycle vest that I wear when I ride my motorcycle, which really makes me feel, you know, riding a motorcycle, that's like manly, all right? Or maybe I just think so. But then I put the vest on and I'm even manlier. It is a black leather vest and kind of smells like leather and sweat and sunscreen and bugs. It's all mixed together. I love that black leather vest. It's got patches on it that look really cool. And I wear that, and the other guys, the biker guys, wear theirs, and maybe even a chain around. And man, that makes me feel like a man. And then there's this pin on the vest that I have on my vest that really, really makes me feel like a man. And that pin says, "Real men love Jesus." And all my biker buddies know that I love Jesus. And that's the manliest thing of all when I put that on. In two ways, guys. Real men love Jesus. So the Bible actually says, be a man, bro. Be a man. 1 Corinthians 16 has this, it says, stand firm in the faith. Be a man of courage. And that word in the Greek doesn't mean be anyone of courage. It's talking to guys. It says, be a man, and then do everything in love. So, Jesus is saying here, men, first and foremost to be a man, love Jesus by believing in him like a child believes in him. Guys, put your strength down and let even the weakness of Jesus be your strength, and it'll be stronger than yours. Men, put your all-knowingness, your wisdom away. And let even the foolish promises of Jesus that go against all logic, let those be your wisdom. That's being a man. Let the words of Jesus in Scripture, words that you should know and read and learn and memorize and have close to your heart, let those be the words that you speak to your kids and to others. That's being a man. Love Jesus like a child. And then, when you do that, you'll be better at loving children like Jesus loves them. Dads, there's nothing more, father figures, grandparents, granddads, there's nothing more important for you, for your family, and for kids who follow you, than for them to know that you love Jesus. For them to see you pray, for you to take them to church on Sunday, for them to see you in your spiritual life, how you deal with stress, how you deal with other people, relationships, what you are in your neighborhood, and they see you as a man of God, as a man of Jesus, as a real man. There's nothing more important. So work on that. Everything else will take care of itself. Make that your priority. Love children like Jesus loves children. And then final encouragement, dads, men. When you have so many responsibilities and so many deadlines and so many kids who need you and other people who need you, and you need to be the hunter and gatherer and the provider, which you are, remember this: when those demands feel so strong, God, your Heavenly Father, will help you meet them. When you're trying hard to be a man who loves and helps kids, and it's hard, and bad things happen. We have a guy in our church who was just playing with a bunch of his kids. He was being a good uncle. He was playing with nieces and nephews a few weeks ago, and as he was playing with them, he uh, he slipped on a soccer ball and broke his foot or ankle and was in a cast. And then not only that, but he had to travel internationally with like that a broken foot, ankle, and complications happened because of an international trip. And if I'm this guy, I'm thinking, why should I be nice to kids if I have to break my ankle and travel internationally and incur complications and go to the emergency room all because of it? Why should I be nice to kids? And you might think that too. He's the nicest guy, and I bet he would tell you, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. Because I can love kids like Jesus loved kids. And how does Jesus love kids? How does Jesus love his followers? He sacrifices for us. He dies for us. So men, fathers, when it's tough to love kids, and when you have deadline upon deadline, and when you don't know you have what it takes to give, it may still be tough, but God will give you strength, and Jesus will give you love. And then Jesus will say to you, you can be a man because you are first my child. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we see you today and your love for children and families. We're so thankful for your heart of grace that wants us to be children of God and that sacrificed yourself for us, the toughest thing that you could ever do. We pray your blessing, Jesus, today on fathers, on father-like figures, on stepdads, on godly men, to be influencers of children, to not give up when it's tough, to be sacrificial, knowing in trust and in faith like children that you will take care of them and that they are first children before they lead other children. May these words of this story to us in Scripture today, Jesus, and what we see you do, may they impact us in meaningful ways this week and always as we seek to love kids like you do. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.